Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Brendan Rodgers admits Celtic fans should be alarmed by their worst league start in 20 years. Steven Gerrard hails his ruthless Rangers after a 5-1 win against St Johnstone. Hearts still set the pace, but it was a tough weekend for the likes of St Mirren and Dundee. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Here's the bottom line. No club with an annual wage bill of £59 million can fail to win the Scottish Premiership. No club who pays their manager £2.5 million excluding bonuses can fail to win the Scottish Premiership. But it looks as if Celtic will need to break the £60 million wage barrier and pay big money in the January transfer window to avoid failure. And Brendan Rodgers will need to earn his money as well in order to protect his own reputation, because a real and present danger to Celtic's domination is here, and there's no point in pretending otherwise.
Alex Ray, and then when the second game rolled around yesterday at Ibrox, question marks over how Rangers would recover from playing in Europe and so on, they answered them all pretty convincingly, didn't they?
Yeah, they were rampant, Gordon, was the word of the day yesterday. They were, seen the highlights last night, middle to front, very good, really impressive, plenty of pace. It's been a great weekend, Gordon, of football. You know, Hibs did well again, Hamilton, a massive one against St Mirren, Partick Thistle back to winning ways as well. But the talking points, I think, tonight will be Rangers and Celtic. It's a big weekend for both clubs.
And Hugh Keevans, as always, Scottish football delivers big stories everywhere you look.
Well, I mean, you started, and rightly so, with Brendan Rodgers' response to the question put to him after the game at Rugby Park yesterday. He was asked, should the Celtic supporters be alarmed by the start that they have made to the season? I honestly thought at that point that Brendan Rodgers would say, no, not at all, there's a long way ahead. He simply said, yes. And you can't blame a man for telling the truth as he perceives it to be. Some other managers might have said, well, no, of course they shouldn't be alarmed. But if Brendan Rodgers says the Celtic supporters should be alarmed, then alarmed they should be.
And everyone knows it's early, Alex. We're not out of September yet. But are you sensing a feel-good factor around Ibrox at the moment?
Yeah, very much so, Gordon. I think if you look at the two league games back-to-back last week, 9 goals scored, 2 away in Spain as well against decent opposition. So I think there's a kind of belief about Rangers at the moment they can actually go on and do something. In the back of the 9 undefeated as well in Europe, which is relatively impressive. The one thing about this, Gordon, and you can also say this about Hearts, they've brought in about 15 players apiece, managed to get them up and running from the off, and they look as if they're gathering momentum, Rangers, at the moment. So, big games coming up. They've got Livingston and Hearts.
And with respect to Hearts, you know, when I say there's a clear and present danger for Celtic where their domination of our game is concerned, it starts with Hearts, who, let's not forget, are 5 points clear at the top. So I'm not dismissing Hearts, but I am pointing towards Rangers and their resurgence.
You've had just a flavour of what Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray took away from the weekend's football, but What did you take away from it? 0141 951 1025. Get in touch, let us know. And if you'd rather tweet, then we are at Clyde SSB. Brendan Rodgers says it's a concern his side couldn't handle the basics as they were beaten 2-1 by Kilmarnock yesterday. The Hoops boss says he felt they did enough to win the game and admits they will need to sort out their defensive issues and quickly.
I'd have been disappointed to draw the game, but to actually lose it was bitterly disappointing. It was a scrappy sort of game. So, but I still felt we had the better moments and the more control of the game. But two basic situations cost us, and so disappointing. I take the responsibility for that. You make the changes to try and give that energy and that brightness and sharpness that may not be there if you've played on a Thursday night. But yeah, it was still difficult for us. But listen, that's, you know, Kilmarnock will always be deep in their block set, so you've got to be able to run beyond them and get behind them. And we mixed our game up fairly well at times. It's never, like I've said before, it was never going to be a good football game on the surface, but we want to try and find ways to win. And we ended up getting in front, and for that, from there, we're pretty comfortable. Didn't create so much, to be honest. Self felt that defensively and that we were solid. So to give away, you know, the first goal comes from a corner, and then the second one's just basic. It's a corner, you've got to defend it, got to be strong, and Stuart Finlay gets in front of our guys. So disappointing.
From a footballing perspective, in terms of how Celtic are going about games, they're actually, Rangers game aside, quite consistent. If you listen to all the calls we're getting, because everyone knows that they have all these good attacking options, but they don't seem to be working at the moment. They don't seem to be breaking teams down, especially when teams are, you know, defending in numbers.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Gordon. And I think most people have actually been on the show saying they've been pretty lacklustre, lack tempo. Creativity. He said there we didn't have enough creation in around about the Kilmarnock box. But even if you go back to last year, obviously they won the treble, but their home form last year, Hugh, was alarming as well. There was a lot of draws within that. They've dropped points at the start of this season. So this is something that's been ongoing. This has not happened overnight. And obviously losing Dembele is a big problem, and I think that's one of the issues for me. I feel as if Dembele was a really good foil for the system they play with the 4-2-3-1. He was the talisman. He was the guy who led the line. Lee Griffiths will get you goals, but he does not lead the line like Dembele. Edwards come into the fold, did really well coming off the left. Other than the hat-trick I think he got through the middle, he struggled. He struggled to lead the line in the same kind of effect as Dembele.
In the general scheme of things, Alex, I repeat, you cannot have a £59 million wage bill and a team who can't score against St Mirren and who can't hold a lead against Kilmarnock, and you can't have a manager on that astronomical money who finishes second or worse.
0141 951 1025 to let us know what you think. John's in Clydebank. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Good evening.
Hi, John.
All right, regular caller, as you know. Hugh, I'm going to put this to you. Uh-huh. I've been warning about this for a year. As you know, I have with my phone calls. And yesterday was maybe the Celtic fans waking up and getting their eyes really, really opened on what's going on at our club. I really believe, but there's against Kilmarnock yesterday and Kilmarnock last season. We got a goal yesterday and it was like the freaky goal. We never had really another shot on target. It happened again last year. Our forward line is non-existent. We don't score any goals. That from the back to the front is an absolute disarray. There seems to be like no one in charge of how we are playing anymore. Teams have absolutely sussed us and how to play us. And I understand a wee bit about Kilmarnock's part, but Kilmarnock played on it. They played fluent attacking football down our left hand side. Was shocking. How Brendan Rodgers and the Celtic board cannot see this demise happening in front of them since last year.
Well, clearly he can, John. Clearly he can, because
he can
because he was asked yesterday after the game, should the Celtic fans be alarmed, and he said yes. So those are the words of a man who sees reasons for the supporters and himself to be alarmed. It's why it has come to this. Now, with regard to the board, because they always get thrown into the mix. Well, talking about Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell, they're the only people who truly matter here, the chief executive and the principal shareholder. Now, the Celtic wage bill is £59 million. That's a club who are looking after their manager in terms of budget, in terms of who he wants to bring in. Celtic's squad is big on numbers, but it's now being shown to be short on quality, because the number of players who can make a difference between Celtic maintaining their domination of the game and failing to maintain their domination of the game, you know, there are plenty of players there whose time's up at Celtic, and the squad could be doing with being whittled down. And Celtic need to bring in other players, and should have done in the summer, will have to do so in January if things get any worse. And an awful lot of players are going to have to be
offloaded.
And, you know, that's going to take a bit of work.
It's not, but the thing is, Hugh, I get the fact that what you're saying there, that there's plenty of players who are pretty much not featuring. There's lots of guys in the fringes.
Oh.
But see the core 15 to 20 players that are still very much mainstays, they are more than good enough to go on a run. The fact of the matter is that they're not doing it. I get your point in saying there's lots of guys that you could just ship them out now, cut costs, but...
Yeah, but you only look at those guys when results start going badly,
you
do. Don't you?
No one mentioned them previously. Gordon,
yeah.
I think up until a couple of weeks ago, there was 8 or 9, 10 players who'd played against Rangers last year. So they still have a nucleus and a squad of players that would most... And you mentioned that most teams would bite your hand off. Most of these guys would walk into teams. The problem with Celtic, and the caller's right, John, they're not firing. They've not been firing for a long time. Middle to front, they're struggling. I've got to say, defensively, over the course, have been not too bad. Yesterday was a really good strike for Chrissy Burke. The second goal is amateur hour, particularly at the timing of the game. They're the ones that you see out. So Celtic have more than enough in reserve. There's a bigger issue and a bigger problem at Celtic than the actual personnel.
The right back's been a problem for a while. Loosening's clearly looking as if he'd been a great player for Celtic, fine servant, but he's looking as if he's finished. Scott Sinclair, whether it's a crisis of confidence or whether he's finished as well, but Scott Sinclair at the moment is nothing to offer Celtic, and too much of that is going on. But I repeat, Celtic ought to have enough players to find a way past St Mirren or hold on to a lead against Kilmarnock. They're all on good money because they were good players brought to Celtic, and they have to find a way. It's not good enough to say, oh, they all sit back against us and they've sussed us out. Well, do something about it then.
Final word to you, John.
Well, I don't think yesterday's surprise, it's no surprise to me, because I've been seeing it, and I've been saying to people, look, this isn't happening here, this is not working. So if I can see it, and I'm only a punter, Brendan Rodgers could see it, but then it goes back to absolutely who we bought in January, and the last day, a player who could have got a team for his, like, who was on loan to Hibs, and we get him back on loan. The boy Henry, who to me looks like the strip, no disrespect to him, is too big for him, right? And he's scared for playing for Celtic Football Club. And then this, that last window, we bought nobody. We had three players that we went for. We already had Eduardo, so we've not really added anything in my eyes. And he went with the same boys as it went last year, and it wasn't working last year, and it's still working this year. And if nothing happens, we'll know of 8 in a row.
But John, when he went with the same players from last season against Rangers, everyone came on here and said how wonderful it was, and it just showed how good Celtic were.
No, but you were playing against a Rangers team who were absolutely disorientated, demoralised. They had no leadership. No, I could field a team against that Rangers.
No, I'm talking about this season.
What we'll need to do is play Rangers every week.
Even Hugh Keevans can't arrange that one for you. Thank you to John and Clyde Bank. It's 01419511025. Anthony, though, is on Twitter. He's a bit more optimistic. He says, despite what Brendan says, I'm not concerned. The season's hardly even begun. It's only 6 points. Teams have had 15 point leads and still lost the title. Plenty of time to make it up. Scaremongering.
Well,
nothing more,
he says. It was a Celtic manager, Gordon.
Well, he says, despite what Brendan says, to be fair to Anthony, he acknowledges that. He doesn't have to agree just because Brendan Rodgers says it. Despite the good start to the season, let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. I was going to go into something else, but he admits that there is a bit of pressure on him and the players after that start to the league. He says they have a chance to put some of that right on Wednesday against St Johnstone. Let's hear more from the Celtic boss.
It's a challenge. I think it's, you know, we have to accept that. Like I say, never get too carried away when we win. Never overly disappointed when we lose, but there's no doubt we need to be better. And when you're at the biggest clubs, you don't win games, the heat comes on to you, but you've got to be able, this is where you show you're a Celtic player and manager and staff. We come together, you know, you lose games, you're always, the spotlight's always going to be on you, but you've got to work hard, you've got to away, do the basics right, and like I say, it's the basics that cost us today, so we have to live with it and look to our next game, which is a quarter-final game away at St Johnson. I think teams have got better. I also think there's a newfound respect playing against Celtic, where teams are deep. We have to find the answers to that. We have to work well on the training pitch when we can get on it, analyse the game, see who can be better, and build a mentality again that allows you to win your next game, which is important.
David's in Carfin. Hi, David.
All right, boys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
I tell you what it is. This is my opinion on what's happened with Celtic this season. I think Celtic, obviously, are a well-run club. I think over the plan moving into this season that we were going to qualify for the Champions League with the squad from last season. And I think that Dembele and Boyata, for that matter, were given assurances most probably that once that had happened that they could secure their move to wherever they were going to. I don't think the Celtic board and Brendan Rodgers have even nearly banked on what was going to happen across the city, and the fact that Rangers, who were announcing loads of losses when it came to their accounts, were able to come out with 15 to 20 million pounds worth of investment on new players. And I think that Celtic have decided after seeing that it wasn't going to be good enough to follow through with that plan. They had to keep the squad for last year. And they went to Boyata and Dembele and said, look, he's going to go. And I think that both of them have spat the dummy out. Boyata obviously didn't play in Europe. Dembele hardly played in Europe as well. He then engineered his move away on the last day of the window, giving us no time whatsoever to replace them. And I think that there's a little bit of disharmony in the squad with what's happened, and I think that we've started slowly. Who could have predicted, though, that Rangers would spend 15 to 20 million pounds on 14 or 16 players?
Yeah, but you should look at your own stall first of all. You know, it was Celtic's job to seize the moment. They had won the double treble. You must then seize the moment, not stand still, get in players and go on and aim for the treble. And aim for the Champions League group stages for the third season in a row. But the transfer window in the summertime was a waste of time for Celtic, because they should have got John McGinn. They sold Armstrong for very good money, good business, but they should have got John McGinn. He would have done them a real job. And they slept in on that one. They just assumed they would get John McGinn because of his Celtic background. And they should have had a plan in place, to my way of thinking, for Dembele and the day he left, because every transfer window since Dembele scored the hat-trick against Rangers, every transfer window he was the obvious number one target for people, so that they should have been better prepared for that. The transfer window then finishes with, oh, this looks bad, let's bring in Youssef Malumbo. With the greatest respect, he's a squad filler.
Alex, I don't think Rangers have quite spent 15 to 20 million, but what about David's general point? I mean, they have, they've spent money, they've brought players in. I don't think it's quite that much, but anyway.
No, but listen, I think it was fairly evident. We touched upon it at the tail end of last season, Gordon. We were saying, how many players do Rangers need to bring in? We were saying 6, 7, 8. But it's actually turned out to be 15 players, Gordon, because they were so far off the pace. The club was pretty much at a low point, a low ebb. Their home form was dire. But when you look at the team, for example, yesterday, Gordon, you know, you've got three or four guys who were Bosmans, Fries, and I think that's the importance of a recruitment department. You look at a couple of guys like young Ryan Kent, Koulibaly, you know, Flanagan come in for nothing, so Alan McGregor. So the important thing about all this is trying to recruit the right type of guys.
Thanks to David in Carfin. It's 0141 951 1025 if you want to get involved. And we're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Duke Evans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call or send us a tweet if you want to get involved in the discussion. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Liam McLaughlin on about Celtic. He says teams have all progressed and we've regressed. If teams sit back and are well organised, we can't break them down. We've not replaced Roberts, Armstrong or Dembele. Poor recruitment is the reason for our poor form. If you agree or disagree, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Stephen Gerrard though, shall we? He says the 5-1 win over St Johnstone showed their ruthlessness. He says they've now set the bar in terms of performances, and he admits that Celtic's defeat earlier in the day did give his players a spring in their step, and says they're ready to capitalise whenever other teams slip up.
I thought we were very good, especially on the back of a tough night on Thursday. It was the exact performance I was looking for. I thought we were ruthless at times. We played some stunning football. 5 very, very good goals. The only fault is obviously the penalty at the end, and I think we got a little bit sloppy in the last 10 minutes, but all in all, I'm very happy today. I think, if anything, the results over the weekend, not just Celtic, but Hearts as well, I think that gave us a bit of a spring in our step. And you know, when we're presented with opportunities like that, we have to make sure that we're ready to pounce, especially if we're off the top. Any time someone above us drops points or doesn't get the points that they're looking for, we have to capitalise on that, and I thought we did. Played some really good stuff. I'm really happy. Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a thing I knew when I took over. It was going to take time. When teams come here, we've got to give them a difficult 90 minutes. I thought we were really good out of possession. You know, we wasn't lazy, or everyone bought into the fact that we had to match St Johnstone early on and fight and battle, and once we won that, we knew our quality would take over, and that's what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I like Stephen Gerrard, what he says. He says, listen, it was exactly what we're looking for. The bar's getting raised all the time. The last 10 minutes he did get sloppy. He passed up a couple of opportunities, and but in the main, he's comfortable, and he's absolutely right. If someone passes up an opportunity the day before or the morning of the game that when you're playing, you must capitalise on that, and exactly what they did. There'll be plenty of confidence going forward.
We're back to old fashioned days here.
Absolutely.
Days that we have not known since 2011. We're back to the old fashioned days where if you're a Celtic fan, you're going to have to be wary of what Rangers' result was and Hearts' result, because they say they're the team at the top at the end of the day. On Saturday, Celtic play Aberdeen. They are 6 points behind Hearts at the moment. Hearts are at home to St Johnstone. Celtic have got Aberdeen. Celtic can't afford to slip up in any way. We know they're going through a trying time, but in front of their own jury on Saturday, they can't afford to slip up in any way. And especially with Rangers playing at Livingston the following day, Stephen Gerrard talking about a spring in their step, they'll come out of the tunnel like Fred Astaire if Celtic give them any more joy.
Martin's in Irvine. Martin, happy Rangers fan, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was just wanting to make a couple of points on Rangers themselves, and how well Stephen Gerrard's doing. Back to what you were saying there, 6 years ago, I was at Beacon, standing along that dark edge, and we could barely put a team together. Stephen Gerrard came in since the 4th of May. There's a couple of callers on yesterday, wondering about Scott Arfield, and I think all these guys are doing great, do you know what I mean? We've had 9 games in Europe, undefeated, obviously going well in the league, 1 wee blip at Celtic Park, and that was probably the only game that They never really came out, never getting their faces, and I was unwell. But other than the Celtic game, I think they've been great. I think a lot of Rangers fans that were on yesterday complaining about Arfield, and that I think they need to be stepped back and realise obviously where they came from. Gerrard's done a great job. I don't know who made the Cassina appointment, but that's just put it back. Gerrard has been in charge since last season, God knows where it would be. And a couple of points about what the Celtic fans have been making. It's not Rangers' fault that they've not done well in the transfer market, but we're doing well, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah, Martin makes a valid point there, Alex, because that's the reality for these Rangers fans. I know there have been bumps along the way and a lot of disappointments, but if you take a step back, it's Brecon to Villarreal. That's why guys like Martin are so happy at the moment.
I think the European results this campaign has been really impressive, particularly on the back of last year's disappointments against Progress Niederkorn. Going back to his points there about Scott Arfield, I seen his goal yesterday, 2 assists. I just don't buy into that at all. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. This is a guy that's coming up. He's been in and out of the team so far. I actually quite like Stephen Gerrard, the rotation which he's using at the moment. He's taking 3 or 4 players out, putting new players in. It doesn't seem to be upsetting the rhythm. They're on momentum. And I think if you're a Rangers fan, you've got to embrace this, because there has been some really tough times over the recent years.
the Rangers fans are obviously delighted with Steven Gerrard. When he was appointed, some Celtic fans, some, said, oh, rookie manager.
I don't think that was just Celtic fans, to be fair. Those were comments I heard quite a lot. I'm not saying they were right, but you heard them.
The main rivalry, as always, will be Celtic and Rangers. And the Celtic fans are saying, rookie manager, no competition there for Brendan Rodgers. Transfer window showed that Rangers' recruitment was good. Celtic's recruitment was mediocre in a transfer window where they got complacent, they got lazy, they fell asleep at the wheel, they took their eye off the ball, any cliche you care to use. And those players that Steven Gerrard brought in have hit the ground running, as he has done as a manager. And that there's no point in decrying him. As I said before, he had a stellar football career with Liverpool and England. He wasn't stocking shelves in a supermarket before he became a manager. He was one of the best players in the world.
Martin, what's pleasing you the most about the performances at the moment?
We don't really seem to have no fear factor. So we just seem to be getting into the game, especially at home. You know, I mean, we're just getting into the score early, sort of killing the game at half time yesterday. Everybody's fighting, playing as a team. So, I mean, we've not really got a kind of a big standout player. Everybody's just begging in for one another. And back again yesterday, five different goal scorers. It's been great to watch. And hopefully it continues. And the way Gerrard's talking, obviously, he's just taking it game by game. Hopefully, we can get as many points on the board up to the next international break. And if we can beat Aaron Wednesday, then have another semi-final, and hopefully the Celtic we can actually show them a good ball if we get Celtic the semi-final.
Alex, how much further ahead are Rangers than you thought they would be at this stage in terms of the players they've brought in, the building job? And listen, yeah, I also accept people will say, well, you know, look at the league table, there is still work to be done there. I get all that, but I'm talking about the players that have come in and the way they're coming together. How further ahead are they than you thought they would be?
Well, listen, you never know how your players are going to gel, Gordon. 15 players coming in, they've pretty much got a whole back line, you know, from the goalkeeper, the two centre halves, the left back. So they've got that, the new midfield. They've really gelled quickly. I think that's been impressive. I think the fact that they actually got into the group stages of the Europa League has given everyone a massive lift. Financially, it's going to be great for the club as well, because money is everything, as we all know, because it allows them to attract better players. But what that's done is it's given them momentum. They had the hiccup against Celtic. I said that prior to it. It may well have been a bridge too far physically for some of them coming back on the back of the Russian trip, down to nine men. But you still have to be able to deal with that and the demands of this Europa League group stage. So I think the interesting thing will be the coming month or so. We talked about blocks. The managers do this in the show yesterday. What do you plan for? The next couple of league games are paramount. How well they do over the course of the next couple of Europa League games, followed with some really tough fixtures on the Sunday after them. So how they negotiate them over the coming 4 to 6 weeks will be really interesting to see going into the important Christmas period.
Well, on that note, despite the good start to the season, Steven Gerrard says the players can't get ahead of themselves. He's simply now looking towards Ayr United in the League Cup.
You know, we won't be getting carried away. You know, I always knew the opening, when the fixtures come out, the opening four games are always going to be really tough, the way the fixtures have fell. But I looked at this period against St Johnstone and Dundee, and with all due respect, I was looking to take maximum points, and we've delivered that. Now it's about getting into the semi-final of a cup, and then getting ready to go to a different kind of test at Livingston and making sure that we're strong. And we're going to do everything we can to try and get another three. Lafferty's not available on Wednesday, so Alfredo will go again. But he's had his rest on Thursday night. So, yeah, I mean, the squad's in a good place. A few other people are really close to joining the squad. Rossiter, McCauley, they're quite close now. Dorans has got another 30 minutes under his belt, so things are good right now, but we need to recover now and get ready for the big night on Wednesday, because I'm sure our fans want to go to Hampden. I certainly do, and the players should do as well.
Grant is in Hillington. Hi, Grant.
Hello there. How you doing, lads?
Not bad, Grant.
I'm just looking through facts, and do you know that Pedro had more points on the board than Mr. Rogers?
Yes, well,
and he was a laughing stock.
Well, maybe because he didn't have two trebles in the cabinet prior to that, Grant. That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, but if you've got the trebles, you've got the experience, surely that should help him guide the ship better than a non-experienced man coming from Mexico to...
Fair, well, okay, don't mind that.
But Brendan Rodgers has acknowledged the poor start to the season. He's agreed that the Celtic fans should be alarmed. So he's acknowledged where things are at the moment.
Fair play. You can ask another question.
Of course.
Last year there was a question where we asked what Rangers players would get into the Celtic team. Could I ask you the same question this year? Celtic players would currently get into the Rangers team?
Well, I did not pose the original question.
No, I'm not saying you did, you.
And for me, it's a redundant topic of conversation because I'm only concerned with what Rangers do and what Celtic do and Hearts do and Hibs do and Aberdeen do. I'm not interested in playing pub games about who would get into their team.
Do you think Steven Gerrard will stay for 10 in a row?
I'll allow you your moment of humour there.
Thanks, Hugh.
Well done.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Grant.
What was that? He's genuinely, is it? We were just building up to that. The rest was all just a warm-up.
Was just dying to get
and then
into
that was the lineup. Yeah. I thought we were going to carry on.
As I say, we're back to old-fashioned times. We haven't had this on this programme for years because Rangers haven't lived in the same postal code as Celtic for the last few years. And now we are really getting in about our business. And Steven Gerrard talking about Ayr United. Of course they will approach that with the utmost regard for what Ian McCall has done, taking Ayr United to the top of the Championship. But they really want to be in a cup final. Last time they were in a cup final, they had Hibs, and Hibs won the cup under Alan Stubbs. They want a trophy because a trophy is a tangible sign that Rangers are back. And by the same token, when Celtic go to McDermott Park, they must protect their status as the treble holders, because the minute you're no longer the treble holders, it is a visible, tangible sign that your absolute domination is over.
Alex, Rangers fans must be delighted with the fact that pretty much everyone that's involved is getting pass marks at the moment. You look at Morelos, he comes in and scores. And when he's not there, Lafferty scores on big nights in Europe. Everyone has been delighted with the defence. And then he mixes up and Joe Worrall had to play a part. And Andy Halliday's come in from nowhere. And, you know, the list goes on. Everyone seems to be contributing at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's a key thing. It actually looks to me as if it's a squad who are really happy about their business. Sometimes when you're a player and you have this rotation system, it can upset the apple cart, Gordon. It looks to me as if everyone's very much fighting for the places. It was interesting to see that young Rossiter's going to be back into the fold as well. Tough competition. You've got Dorans, Arfield, Jack, Koulibaly to get ahead of there. McCauley's obviously another player with another dimension, plenty of experience. And I think Graham Dorans could be a really good asset for Rangers going forward as well. As a player I've always admired, he has ability. I feel as if he's been playing out of the wrong position last year as one of the sitting midfielders. For me, he's more middle to front, probing, looking to try and get on the score sheet. So the Rangers management team are desperate to get to a cup final, and it all starts on Wednesday night against Ayr.
Wee Doughball is on Twitter. He's a Celtic fan, Wee Doughball, and he says, last caller hit the nail on the head. Rangers are playing as a team and Celtic aren't. Too many players think they're big time after two good seasons and they're out for their own agenda. The summer should have been used for a freshen up. So many opinions flying about tonight. Why don't you share yours? 0141 951 1025. You can do so after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
01419511025 if you'd like to get in touch with us tonight. We're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We've been going over all things Celtic, Kilmarnock, Rangers, St Johnstone from the weekend. I'm in the company tonight of Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, a sad day for Celtic today because of the passing of Jim Brogan, who was a big part of Celtic's nine in a row between 1966 and 1975. Alec, you'd have loved Brogy, as they called him. He started off as a player in the middle of the park. Some years later, went to play fullback, but when Brogy tackled you, you stayed tackled. And he was a terrific player for Celtic. In his time, you know, he came into the team, replaced John Clark initially, and then took the place of Tommy Gemmell. So that was the kind of calibre of the man that you're talking about. But in his time, he won 7 league titles, 4 Scottish Cups and 3 League Cups. Not a bad haul for Brogy.
That is quite a trophy cabinet.
And to Jim's family, of course, tonight, we send our very best wishes and condolences. The sad passing of Jim Brogan.
Yes, well said, Hugh Keevans. Let's get back to the phone lines and speak to Mary in Shawlands. Hi, Mary.
Hello there, boys. Can I talk to Hugh, please?
He's listening.
Hugh, how are you?
I'm fine, Mary.
That's grand. I was on your Twitter page earlier on, and I seen it says, been for a haircut, had a shave, and sprazzed up.
Yeah.
What does that mean, sprazzed up?
Well, you see, now, Mary, I can tell by your accent that you come from across the water.
I come from a land far away. What does sprazzed up mean?
Sprazzed up is a Glasgow expression for getting yourself in...
Do you not mean spruced up?
Spruced
yes.
up, that's...
Sprazzed up. I come from a housing scheme called Drumchapel. It was sprazzed up in Drumchapel.
Right, well, I'm going to be using that from now on, Hugh, so thanks for that. I do follow you on
woman,
Twitter,
Mary.
And I think you're grand.
Woman. Thank you, Mary.
And RIP to Jim Brogan as well. God rest his soul.
Absolutely.
Now, my last point, I'm not on for 10 minutes to talk about rubbish. I just want to say about Brendan Rodgers, I'm fuming. I'm not going to swear. Don't worry, boys. I would never do that.
Oh, no.
I'm absolutely livid. And I'm sick and tired of all... Oh, I better not swear. I'm not going to, boys, so don't panic. I'm absolutely scunner to the back teeth of it. I am sick. Nobody has done more for such a club like Celtic than that man Brendan Rodgers has. And I'll tell you what, he only pips Neil Lennon to the post as the best manager of all time. Now, what do you got to say about that?
Well, Mary, in the world of football, whether it's in Ireland or in Scotland or anywhere else, football managers survive or fail depending on results. And Brendan Rodgers has created history here with the double treble. But Brendan, like all managers, needs to maintain that success. A club like Celtic, Mary, have a £59 million wage bill. Brendan is paid, by Scottish standards, astronomical money. There must be a return for that money. And first of all has to be the championship of this country, because that's what leads to the qualification rounds for the Champions League group stages. And Celtic cannot pay the manager the kind of money they pay him and have a £59 million wage bill.
He really likes that wage bill, doesn't he?
No, but you can't...
You can't get away from it. It's astronomical.
By Scottish standards, it is out of this world. So you can't have that and not win the title.
But hold on a second, because just and I'm definitely playing devil's advocate here. Every time Celtic got one of those pastings in Europe off PSG or Barcelona, you used to tell us that the wage bill didn't matter.
But the in terms of European football,
does that not suit your argument?
Not at all. And now Mary's fellow countryman Dermot Desmond has made himself untold fortunes by being a smart businessman. When he invested in Brendan Rodgers, he did so in the full and certain belief that Brendan Rodgers would maintain domestic success for Celtic. Europe can take care of itself. He cannot pay Brendan Rodgers that kind of salary, and he cannot underwrite a £59 million wage bill while not being first in Scotland. That does not compute.
Final word to you, Mary.
Oh, I just want to say God bless all of you boys for the grand job that you're doing, and God bless Brendan Rodgers, because as I said before, and I'll leave you with this tonic because I've got to go and make the grandkids tea.
Oh.
I'll leave you with this one tonic that I picked up when I was in Ireland. Never ever let a god disappear into the dark of the night. Goodbye, boys.
Thanks,
Mary.
Wow. I can't follow that, Hugh Keevans. You're going to have to try.
Well, there's another Glasgow expression. You wouldn't go back to Mary with a broken people.
0141 951 1025. We're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I knew you and Mary would get on well. Oh. See, just as soon as she started, yeah.
Chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you
had quite a thing going on there, I must say.
I think I might go over there for my tea.
I think we better move on. George is in Rutherglen. Hi, George.
Oop.
Hello, George. George, can you hear me?
Hi.
You can. On you go. The floor is yours.
All right, mate. What it is, I said, just about the performance yesterday, the Rangers, totally over the moon. Probably the best performance I've seen at Ibrox for a long, long time. Some of the football was really good.
How long, George? And I'm not saying that to catch you out at all, because we were discussing this in the office the other day, just as to where Rangers are at. I mean, how long is it since you saw a performance like that?
To be honest with you, it's been that long, I can't remember. Probably
six,
I would say
6 years ago,
about six or 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. You know, I mean, obviously we were a force back then, but in the last obviously 6 years have not been too great, or as Mary would say, grand. But I just want to pick up what I said on. I was on a Friday, and I was the one that says that they're the real deal, getting a bit of a pounding for it in work. but we are the real deal. We're going to be there. We're not disappearing. What's happened here is that Celtic have believed what everybody's told them, that they were miles and miles and miles ahead. That's why they stood still. Yeah. They're no miles and miles and miles ahead. And this is a decent Rangers team. And a decent Rangers team would have challenged them last year. The only problem was we didn't have a decent Rangers team.
Yeah,
we've got one new and Celtic are getting found out.
Yeah,
that's my honest belief.
Yeah, as I said earlier, you know, Celtic have been complacent. In football, you have to seize the moment.
Arrogant. Not complacent. Arrogant.
Well, you use your word and I'll use mine. They've been complacent in the transfer window. They should have brought in players. They didn't. And then when the transfer window was running out, they brought in players who are squad fillers. With the greatest respect to Emilio Izaguirre, who's been a former player of the year in this country, his time at Celtic was up. He then went abroad and played and came back to Celtic. To be honest, he's not what Celtic need. And neither, I would submit, is Youssef Malumbu. You know, the squad doesn't need fillers. They need players who can be automatic picks and who can continue momentum and who can take Celtic towards where they want to be, which is the treble. That was what all the supporters wanted. And Celtic have stood still. And now they're going to have to play catch-up in the January transfer window. But Rangers...
Well, have they stood still or have they actually gone backwards? If you you look at it from the perspective of Armstrong, Roberts, Dembele. Because I know that George's general take is sort of that Celtic were never that good to begin with, and now Rangers are closing the gap. Is it not the truth that Celtic were actually miles ahead last season, but Rangers have got a whole lot better and Celtic are coming back towards them as well, and that's why the gap certainly looks like it's closing?
You know, right now Celtic need battlers, because the results that they've had recently have shown that this is a team that people can push around a bit if they so desire. So they need battlers, and I am just wondering how many battlers there truly are there now. And if they are there and they're offended by that, then they've got a chance to come to the fore, and it starts at Dermot Park, because, as I say, Celtic have dominated the football in this country for 2 years. 6 trophies on the bounce. When one of those trophies is no longer yours, it is a visible sign of decline. So Celtic have to go to St Johnstone on Wednesday night and protect their status as the treble holders.
Yeah, I think it was quantity over quality. I think Brendan Rodgers is on record as saying that the squad is actually weakened, but I still maintain that they have more quality than most in the league. They're not getting the best out of that quality. There seems to be divisions. They don't seem to be playing as a unit. And you can evidently see that. They look as if they're struggling from middle to front. The goals are not flowing. And that's the reason why Brendan Rodgers has come out and says he's alarmed. So, you know, they will need to get their house in order soon. Otherwise, things will become a bit more difficult in the coming weeks.
Stephen Ray's on Twitter. He says, anyone who didn't see the result coming yesterday hasn't been paying attention. Celtic have won 9 of their 19 league games in 2017. Rodgers' comments during the summer about the board and the squad quality, along with his body language, has me concerned about his mindset.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are both standing by, but they need someone to play against. If that someone is you, you go and pick up your phone right now. Dial 0141 951 1025. And just for getting through on to Beat the Pundit this week, or for the first part of this week, you will win yourself a pair of tickets to Glasgow City's Crunch Champions League return leg at Petershill on Thursday. Remember, already winning from the first leg, but it is only halfway. 0141 951 1025. You need to be quick, because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock to play tonight's Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I must say, Hugh, on Twitter there are calls for me probably to be removed, and for you and Mary to get your own show. This was Mary, the previous caller. She's gone down a storm on Twitter. You and her seem to hit it off. There was a chemistry there, and Alex and I are surplus to requirements.
We are the Foster and Allen of Super Scoreboard.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Hugh and Alex are both standing by. They've been studying hard all weekend. One of them is up against Gary from Kilsyth. Evening, Gary.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm not bad, are you?
All good. And you're a winner already, of course, because just for getting through to play tonight, you get a pair of tickets to Glasgow City's Crunch Champions League return leg against Samatio Barcelona. It's at Peters Hill on Thursday night. They're two up from the first leg. Gary, I don't know if you've ever been to see Glasgow City before. Maybe you have and you're desperate to go back. And maybe you've never been and this will be a first chance for you.
Nope, I've not been, so thanks very much.
And they could have a new fan in Gary because we've given the ticket. So there we go. Right, Gary, heads it's going to be Hugh, tails it will be Alex. So Alex has just taken his glasses off, put them on his head and perched. He's leaning over, Gary. I don't think he trusts me. That's what that body language suggests. Right. You want to see this?
No, I trust you.
I've just dropped it. It's heads, it's Hugh. You're off the hook. Right, heads it is Hugh. So Gary up against Hugh on Beat the Pundit. Let me give Hugh some Clyde 2 so that he doesn't know what we're up to, and we'll get the questions up and running. Gary, 30 seconds head to head. Remember, you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep, ready.
Which team did Stephen Naismith start his career with?
Hearts.
Claudio Ranieri has been linked with a return to which Italian side?
Fiorentina.
Which team play their home games at Bloomfield Road? Which English team?
Sheffield United.
Which Aston Villa midfielder has signed a new 5-year deal with the club? Tough tonight, I must say. Barcelona and which other side play in Barcelona?
Espanyol.
Who scored the winner for Kilmarnock yesterday?
Stuart Finlay.
Okay, I thought they were tough tonight, I must say. Quite Gary tough. Yeah, let me bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, can you hear me?
I can.
They're tough tonight.
Oh,
Gary
no.
says they're tough. I agree. Oh. Are you ready?
On we go.
Same set of questions to you. Let's do it. Which team did Stephen Naismith start his career with?
Kilmarnock.
Claudio Ranieri has been linked with a return to which Italian side?
Napoli.
Which team play their home games at Bloomfield Road? Which English team?
Leicester.
Which Aston Villa midfielder has signed a new 5-year deal with the club?
Jack Grealish.
Barcelona and which other side play in Barcelona?
Espanyol.
Who scored the winner for Kilmarnock yesterday?
Stuart Finlay.
And who was the last non-Spanish team to win the UEFA Super Cup quickly?
Pass.
Okay. They were hard, I thought. Yeah, I thought they were quite tough tonight, I must say. I'll have a word with the guy who makes them up. It's honestly not me. Right, Gary, how are you feeling?
I think he's going to get Jack Grealish off my tongue.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot in it. Let's go through them. Stephen Naismith.
You should try Santi Cazorla or something.
This was Hugh last week, Gary. If you didn't hear it, he had a nightmare.
I was
Santi Cazorla. I think you'll probably kick yourself with this one, Gary, as well. Stephen Naismith, they started his career with Kilmarnock, remember. So Hugh got that one right. 1-0 to Hugh. Claudio Ranieri, apparently, I didn't know this, linked with a return to Roma. So it's still 1-0 to Hugh. Alex Ray, if you take a bash at this one, which team play their home games at Bloomfield Road?
Yes, Blackpool.
Fond memories?
Yeah, oh, very much so. Yeah, that orange top was lovely.
Yeah?
No, I really enjoyed my time down there. Yeah.
Good, there we go. Which Aston Villa midfielder signed a new 5-year deal? It is Jack Grealish. So Hugh goes into a 2-0 lead. You finally got up and running on the next question though, Gary. Espanyol, the other team which play in Barcelona. Sadly for you, Hugh got it as well. So it's 3-1. On to the next one. Who scored the winner for Kilmarnock yesterday? Stuart Finlay. It then goes a 4-2. And it didn't matter. Hugh got on to the last one. The last non-Spanish team to win the Super Cup is Bayern Munich. That's tough. That is a tough question. Anyway,
I'd have got that.
Gary, really good. It wouldn't have been enough. Anyway, Gary, 4 to you. 4 to Hugh and 2 for you, Gary. Hard lines.
No bother.
Thanks, Gary.
Good man. Gary's a winner anyway. Remember, he wins the pair of tickets to Glasgow City's Crunch Champions League return leg at Peters Hill on Thursday night. We'll be giving a pair of tickets away on tomorrow and Wednesday's Beat the Pundit as well.
Who compiled the questions today?
It would be producer Ryan this evening. Wow, so yeah, we're going to have words. I think they were harsh. But listen, I don't mind that.
No.
It separates
absolutely.
the
the men for the boys,
the those with true knowledge. You know, Hugh did well. He kept his composure. I don't mind that at all. Alright, 0141 951 1025. It is a Monday night. Understandably, we have been dominated by what happened at Kilmarnock yesterday, what happened at Ibrox yesterday. We're going to try and do as much of a weekend review as we can. Let's speak to Kevin in Coatbridge in the meantime. Hi Kevin.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad, Kevin. What did you make of Celtic yesterday? How would you sum it up? One word.
Pathetic.
Strong words.
Well, if the manager can say that the fans should be alarmed, then Kevin's entitled to pathetic.
What was pathetic about it, Kevin?
Just the whole performance in general, from start to finish. I thought Brendan Rodgers' team selection as well in recent weeks has been very, very poor. You had Tom Rogic sitting on the bench. He had a good performance on Thursday night. James Forrest was brought in. Yeah, Mikey Forrest has come in and doing grand. Yeah, doing great. But I just think from pre-season, from the start of the season, the Celtic performance in general has been very, very lacklustre and very, very poor due to the lack of the quality in the transfer activity in the transfer window. But in the same breath, as there's more going on in the club from the top down, and they're not backing and supporting Brendan Rodgers in the way they should be doing.
Sorry, say that again. You're saying they're not backing Brendan Rodgers?
No, is Dermot Desmond and Peter Law backing Brendan Rodgers, or is it?
I mean, Kevin, do I have to say this again?
It might not. You're not necessarily meaning financially, Kevin, are you?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you are meaning financially. Okay.
£59 million wage bill.
That is the last one of tonight's show.
This is the interesting thing about this is I totally agree with you when you're talking about the wage bill. There is a perception with the Celtic fans that they didn't spend in the summer financially, because with the Armstrong money, it was more or less offset with the Edward money. So people are they think net that it's a net spend. Yeah. So the perception is that there's not been a big spend over the course of the summer. Yeah. The problem they have is that they tried to get John McGinn, who would have replaced Armstrong, which is a cheaper option, and then tried to build him up so that he would have moved for 7, 8, 10 million further down the line and replaced him like for like. But that didn't happen. So that the Celtic have missed Armstrong's legs from middle to front.
Yeah.
And then obviously Edward has obviously come in and he's kind of stuttered and stammered. But there is a perception that they haven't backed him financially. But you're right what you say, Hugh, yeah, in terms of the £59 million wage budget.
I'd go so far as to say that Celtic are throwing daft money about. They've got a huge squad of players. They're paying terrific wages. And you could prune one third of that playing squad. You could take one third away and offload them.
Can I ask Kevin a question, Gordon?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about his first point about team selection? Because the consensus going into yesterday's game that the team needed to be changed, it needed to be freshened up, and then the changes were made. Apparently they didn't work, and now team selection was the problem again.
Do you know the one thing that utterly mystifies me? When Celtic beat Rangers 1-0 going on 4 or 5, but for Alan McGregor in goal, the display was first class. A display that would have ranked with any given by the team in the two seasons before when they had won the treble. And since then, they've been awful by comparison. And I can't get my head round that. But when Kevin speaks about team selection, when Brendan Rodgers changed the team yesterday, he changed it in response to fans and everyone else saying,
oh, surely he just does it for himself.
Yeah, of course. But he, like the fans, knew the team had to be freshened up. He made 6 changes, didn't work. Put on 3 subs, didn't work. And now you would think, I don't know, I don't pick the team, but you would think he would go back to Rogic, and Hinsham will certainly come back in, and James Forrest,
McGregor
at McDermott Park, because as I say, Celtic's treble goes on the line at McDermott Park.
I'm going to let Kevin back in, but listen to this. This is important, because this could be incredible going forward, depending what happens. Tony Clark is on Twitter. If Celtic don't win the league this season, I will get a tattoo of Steven Gerrard on my bum. I'll change the word. On my bum. That's how confident I am. It's there. It's on Twitter. It's published for everyone to see. Tony, retweet it. Do what you want. Tony Clark, if Celtic don't win the league this season, he's getting Steven Gerrard tattooed on his backside.
Well,
that's confidence, Hugh.
Yeah. I really don't know what to say about that for once in my life, but
you don't want to join him on a similar bet. No,
can Kevin, you were saying from the summer the recruitment and things haven't been going well. I was talking to a Celtic fan earlier on today, and he says this has been coming from last January. You look at some of the results at home last year. He says you go to Parkhead, some of the results were very lethargic, a lot of home draws, and he says this has actually been in the making. It's not just happened in the last 46 games. It's actually been ongoing since January. What's your thoughts on that, Kevin?
It's been good on for a long, long time, to be honest with you. I really don't know what's going on in at Celtic Park at the moment in the garden recruitment and the processes of them. It baffles me, some of the decisions. And I do agree with you regarding the Wainsfield situation. I do know that and I do appreciate that. But to me, Celtic are flying the flag in Europe. We should be, yes, I grant you the coefficient was harder this year and we did have to play extra games to get it for the qualifiers, and that was maybe a mountain too much to ask. Over the last two seasons, I think we've more than produced. I think Brendan Rodgers doesn't get the credit, you know, and he does go unnotified, but at the same time, there is plenty of more fish in the sea out there, and I feel as if we're not doing enough to bring the quality and standard of fish up to Scotland.
All right, thanks to Kevin in Coat Bridge. Keep the calls coming. If you want to keep talking about Rangers yesterday, Celtic yesterday, we can well do so. But what about some of the other big talking points from the weekend? Because there's been a bit of a slight development at Dens Park today. Dundee manager Neil McCann will be in charge of this side's match against Hamilton on Saturday, insists managing director John Nelms. That's a story in itself, Hugh. Because if the MD has to come out and say that, you know things aren't well.
Well, I mean, how could they be anything other than uncertain times at Dens Park? 7 games played, 6 in the league, 1 in the Betfred Cup, 7 losses. It can't go on like that. Interesting that they should specify the Hamilton Accies game on Saturday in the statement from Dundee. If Dundee go to Hamilton, for the sake of conversation, and lose again, they will be 10 points adrift of the Accies. And at the moment, they're already 11 points adrift of Livingston. So unless you act at a time like that, then you're going to be relegated.
Yeah, it was a 3-0 defeat for Neil McCann and Dundee at the weekend.
I feel that we're working under pressure circumstances, clearly. I'm not going to hide from that. I know we're on a real bad, bad run in terms of results, so I wouldn't be ignorant to that fact. But I'll deal with the pressure. You know, you take a job in management, you have to deal with the ups and downs. I've worked with every manager I've worked with, probably has there an element of working under those circumstances. And I'm not the type of guy that's going to be frightened of that challenge. Just come into work and just keep working hard, and that's the only thing that I can do. Is if I'm doing my job properly, I feel I'm working hard. I'm trying to give them every piece of information. I'm getting the team that I can use absolutely ready for it. And unfortunately, the guys are just playing with that lack of confidence. I can't give them that. They've got to earn that. They've got to take that. They've still got my belief in them, and I'll keep giving them that.
I mean, the managing director in this programme not spoke about fortitude and resilience and standing behind people. I mean, is that something that you would then expect for yourself at the minute?
Well, I didn't read the programme notes, but I have to say the relationship I've got with the board has been first class. You know, they've been great. They've always been very supportive and backed us. And then I can just then, it's a knock-on effect. The players have to have my belief. You know, I brought a lot of these guys here. I know there's been a couple still remaining from my time when I came into the job. But yeah, listen, I'll just keep working as hard as I have been doing.
Yeah, listen, that's difficult times for Neil. Hugh just touched upon there, 7 defeats in the bounds, particularly the defeat as well to Ayr in the Cup, 3-0, hit the woodwork a couple of times. He'll be under no illusions that she come the weekend, it's a must win for Neil McCann. Otherwise, I'm afraid it may well cost him his job.
And on the flip side, Hibs obviously one of the winners from the weekend. Hugh, yeah. Hearts, they're still the pace setters, by the way. They should be congratulated for that. You just can't help but feel that a home game against Livingston with a penalty not taken is a little bit of a missed opportunity.
Also, it was the softest penalty you'll see as well. The award,
good save
was soft. Yeah, good save by Liam Kelly. But yeah, full praise to Hearts because they've recruited well in the summer. We're banging on about recruitment here.
Yeah.
Hibs have recruited well. Hearts have recruited well. Rangers have recruited well. But the team who had the double treble did not recruit well.
Alan is a Rangers fan from Irvine. Hi, Alan. What's on your mind tonight?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I was just wanting to speak about the weekend. I thought it was really good from Rangers, who are being so ruthless. It was tremendous to see again. Hopefully that will maybe set the standards that teams come into Ibrox now. We'll start realising that we're getting back to a team that we were, and having Ibrox feared is a place to come. But my main point was to come on to was Ross McCrory coming back into the team at the weekend. I've always been a big fan of his, and I thought we have been out of the team for such a long period of time, and after having sending off, I thought he'd come in and played terrific, and it was brilliant to see. And the thing that's highlighting me that as well is we've now got, as a central defensive midfielder, we've got Ross McCrory there, we've got Ryan Jack, and we've also got Andy Halliday, who is like a player reborn this season. I've always liked him, but he's just, Gerrard's obviously brought out that confidence in him, and it's great that we've got Dorans coming back now as well. I thought with Ross McCrory sitting in there, it gave Arfield and Koulibaly a bit more freedom to go forward the same way. So it's good that we're starting to get back into that level of depth that we've got in our squad, and our bench was brilliant as well again. We've got so many various different options we can go, and last year when there was a lot of young guys coming in, which was fine, they were coming in, they were doing their jobs, but it's great to have that depth there now that we can, if we need to change the results, we'll get different players on the bench that can make it that difference. And it's just, I'm excited again, I have been for the last few weeks, because we've not been that far off, I think, and hopefully that will be like a catalyst now, that performance, and the players can see, well, do you know what? We can do this to teams when they come here, because this is our fortress and we'll show them that. And we'll just see what your thoughts are on that, guys.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Alan. You, the young boy, Ross McCrory, I've worked with him with Scotland under-17s a few years ago. This is a boy that gives everything to the profession. He is a model professional and he's given himself every opportunity. But you are absolutely spot on when you talk about competition in the middle of the park. Rangers were lightweight for the last X amount of years. I mean, powder puff. You look at it now, Rossiter may well be on his way back.
Scored for the reserves today, I think, certainly played.
5-2 against Motherwell.
6-2.
6-2. We missed that late one coming to the studio, Gordon. Ryan Jack is due to come back as well. Koulibaly, Arfield, and Dorans. So you have two or three permutations every game. You can mix that up, you can freshen it up however way you like, and then you'll have players you know, that can make a difference. So I think it's a really important thing. It's one of the key things that Rangers have at their disposal now. They've got people to fill in, and when they're filling in, they're not weakening the position. And as I said earlier on, the momentum's very much with them. And you're right, what you said, as a Rangers fan, you need to embrace this, because as the last few years have been a torturous time.
St Mirren fans, where are you? It was all so good for Oran Kearney when he lined up for his first game against Celtic, crashing back down to earth at Hamilton on Saturday. Why not give us a call and tell us what you made of it? And Partick Thistle fans, the flip side for you, it was all doom and gloom last week. Back to winning ways this week. The full time teaser is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Evans and Alex Ray join me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And it's time for those two, certainly, and perhaps you, if you want to play along, to go and get a pen and paper, because sometimes you need to write these ones down. It's the time for the full-time teaser. We always start it at this time every night, and we give the guys until the end of the show to come up with the answers. We're looking for questions off you all the time, so if you've got good ones, send them in, please, to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. So, Jerry sent this question in. Thank you to Jerry. Since 2006, nine players got their first Scotland cap whilst at Hibs. Can you name them? So since 2006, nine players got their first Scotland cap whilst at Hibs.
Stevenson.
Lewis Stevenson?
Yes.
John McGinn?
Yes. I think you might scoosh this one, actually. I mean, I always give the easiest one to you two. Between you two and Hugh and Derek, you're seeing the common denominator here. Yeah. Who needs the easiest teasers?
Stupidity, really? Is a common denominator.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait, Daz and Mark on the show?
Yeah, they're close as well, to be fair. They're close. Right, any more?
Okay. No, leave it with
okay.
me.
Okay, since 2006, play along at home, nine players got their first Scotland cap whilst at
Hibs. Can you name them right? Let's continue our weekend review, shall we, by hearing from Oran Kearney. Did ever so well in his first game at St Mirren, a draw with Celtic. Back down to earth though at Hamilton at the weekend, a 3-0 defeat for St Mirren. Buddies, get in touch, let us know what you think.
No, from one extreme to another, you'll have to say. And bar probably 15 or 20 minutes well in the first half, when we looked like we really could go and create something and get our goal, the manner of it after that was probably disappointing. Goals change games, there's no doubt in that. And I suppose as much as I'm just through the door, there's a few scars from earlier on in the season in relation to maybe a quick succession of goals or losing goals in that manner. And I think from the player's point of view today, it really looked like that. And you know, the plan at half time was to stay in the game, to try and allow us for as long as possible to keep it at 2-0 and keep it that way and see if we could create something and maybe get that third goal which would get us back in the game. But without the ball today we weren't good, but with the ball today I thought we were probably worse, you know, and that was, particularly in the second half, that was the most disappointing aspect.
You lost Jack early on, like before the game started, you lost Hayden early on. Did that have an impact on what you were doing?
No, not really, and you have to be honest with that. You know, we've plenty of players here and we've depth and we've players who can move in. I thought Paul and Anton were probably our best two players today at centre half. I thought they gave a real good account of themselves and they did everything within their power that they could. I just felt probably the others around them didn't do their jobs to help out. So no, you know, we'll not be looking for excuses from that point of view.
Does that result at the weekend show, well, I'm sure it shows a couple of things, probably that St Mirren have still got a lot of work to do, but also how different it is, Alex, when you're involved in a game where you need to go and do more than just stifle like St Mirren managed to do against Celtic. And they did it really well, credit to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I said on the show last Sunday and Monday, I think it was, when we were covering that St Mirren thoroughly deserved the point against Celtic. They were very well organised, could have actually nicked it with a couple of opportunities in the counter-attack. However, I said at the time, it was a different proposition when you have to come and open up. It's a different game plan altogether, and then you have to go and beat teams like Hamilton. That is a really body blow, particularly on the back of a good point against Celtic, and they really need to kind of pick up their game because they don't want to be languishing.
They're back in Paisley next Saturday, but they play Hibs, and Hibs are a pest if you're looking for a decent result, because they've shown it at Dundee at the weekend. Hibs went up there, a struggling Dundee, desperate for points, and Hibs have just taken them apart with what Neil Lennon described as the most complete performance he's seen for quite some time. So if you're Oran Kearney, there is no breathing space. Yeah. You've been well and truly beaten by the Ackies, and here comes Hibs.
It's Aberdeen after that as well, then Kilmarnock Hugh, so it's a tough little run they're on, so it's important to pick up points now.
And I don't mean it wasn't deliberate to start from Glasgow and sort of work my way out, Hugh Keevans, but whilst we're doing the local side of things, Partick Thistle, we had so much negativity last week, but a really, really important win at the weekend.
Yeah, terrific win, a 5-goal thriller against Queen of the South, all 5 goals coming peculiarly in the first half, but real show of character and resilience from Alan Archibald and his players. And as I say, he's so close to the top of the division that all talk should cease now about his job security, because what more can he do than be in touch with the leaders?
Gordon, I said the players that Partick Thistle have, they should be challenging at the top of the league now. 4 points they're behind. When you've got guys like Spittle, Story, Erskine, Doolan, that is as good. Brannigan,
just coming back at the weekend, just Brannigan, didn't he?
Players that are very well known to us. If you speak about players playing in the Premier League in recent years as well, Gordon, these are guys that are kind of household at that level, so they should be doing that. And hopefully for Arts' sake, that'll be challenging.
Yeah, Jonathan Glenn's on Twitter, a much better performance, relieved to get the result. Work still need to be done, but a step in the right direction. And Jim's got quite a story for us, Hugh. He says, I missed Firhill on Saturday, I was down in Arran. I heard the first goal and I feared the worst. Then I was playing crazy golf at Broddick on the 11th. You're following this so far. And it's called Kingsley.
Oh.
Check the score to find we were winning 3-2. Spooky but delighted, Jim says. There you go. Well, anything? Are we crediting Jim with the result?
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure.
Am I still getting sent to interview Jackie Lowe?
We will see. We do like to get you out and about every now and then. Tony's been back on as well, by the way, just to clarify. Remember, this was Tony that was getting the tattoo of Steven Gerrard in his backside if Celtic don't win the league. I would like to correct this tweet, he says.
Oh.
I should have said, if Celtic don't win the league this season, I will get a tattoo of the league winning manager.
So if Steven Gerrard wins the league, he'll get Steven Gerrard. If it's Craig Levein, he'll get it. If it's Martin Canning, he'll get Martin Canning.
I hope he doesn't show his missus the tattoo of either of them.
Yeah. Retweet Tony, just make sure he doesn't get away with this one. Right, let's hear a bit from Alan Archibald, just as we were discussing that win for Partick Thistle.
Probably started the game okay. It's just the first time in our half, probably Coon's first time, a bit similar to last week. And we don't deal with a simple ball up, and we know what Dobie can do and how good he is running about the box, and we allowed him to do it. But we showed great character to come back from it a couple of times today, so delighted for the boys.
The winter was a tremendous strike.
Yeah, it was. It was, and Blair's been excellent. He's probably not got his goals. I didn't actually realise that was his first goal last week. So, and all our goals were good, even Doolan's goal, the way we moved the ball and worked it to get it. So, we just tapped on to the lads there. Like, we've scored three wonderful goals today for our aspect, but defensively, we've gave goals away, it feels like. And their second one was a counter attack. So, if we can just stop the mistakes, we know we've got guys in the team that can score now.
Is that the thing? Just keeping a clean sheet at the other end, is that just as important?
Yeah, vitally important. Just stop giving away goals. We can't keep on coming back all the time. Last week we nearly came back to 3-3, but other teams weren't working for their goals, and that's what we felt today as well. But we showed great character. I thought the first half of some of our play was excellent.
Blair might have had a hat trick as well, a couple of good chances second half.
Yeah, no, he did. We played a little bit deeper. Credit Community South for that. They kept on going, and we were a wee bit camped at times, which is a bit uncomfortable. We looked a threat in the break, and we nearly got that fourth one that hit the post.
I know that Banjo's been in the team coming off the bench the last couple of weeks to get his first start, though, after a year out. It's a great moment for him, isn't it?
Yeah, no, look, delighted for him. He came on last week, and he's brilliant. He's such a popular guy, and he's such a good player, and that's probably how we won the probably influential in possession of the ball in the second half, because he started to tire and fatigue. So, delighted to have him back. It's a different team with Stuart Banninger, and he's a fantastic midfielder.
Just finally on this, the Championship's a cracking division this year again, isn't it? And it has been for the last couple of years. You look at there's some serious strength there, and quite a few clubs that will fancy their chances.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at Dundee United starting to get a little bit of momentum again. My friends on Twitter, I keep telling you about this guy, he's not having the manager whatsoever. Every time they get a win, he's saying to me that it's just another week we've got to put up with this guy. I keep trying to emphasise it. You know, they're 2 points off the pace. Inverness, Ross County, the air's been phenomenal. But the one team is my old team, Falkirk. I cannot believe for the life of me that they've not even got a win yet. And the season looks almost over for them already. 11 points off the playoff spot.
Was the quiz question, Hugh? The only teams in Britain with no points so far.
And we're down to Falkirk and Dundee now.
We are. Albion Rovers got off the mark at the weekend.
But it's Friday night football for Thistle. They go to East End Park to play Dunfermline. Now, that will tell Alan Archibald a few tales. Dunfermline have been cursed by me, saying that they were contenders for promotion. they got 5 points so far, but they are at home. Every comeback has to start somewhere. And Alan Archibald, if he can get 3 points at East End Park, then we'll know that Thistle have truly turned a corner.
Peter's a Celtic fan on the line. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Gordon. Evening, here, evening, Alex.
Hi.
Again, awesome yesterday and the day now. Banging on about this £59 million wage bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which granted is obviously as a fact, but see, when you look at even that starting 11 yesterday here, many players was actually that starting 11 yesterday. Many players was actually playing there, Brendan Rodgers. And I know for a fact that there's problems off the field at Celtic. I'm not going to get into where, how, why, what, where, but there's problems off the field.
Well, come on, if you know for a fact, Peter, you have to tell us a bit more.
No, get. Gordon, you guys don't when you come out with these snippets.
don't reveal your source.
It was just it was your use of the word fact. I was keen to know how you knew it was a fact. That's all.
Well, so, I know through a very reliable source, Gordon. Right, end of the day at Parkhead. So there's problems off the park, and unfortunately, it's filtered in, and a lot of many supporters' eyes went to the park. And,
well, I would not pretend to know of anything that is untoward there. That's not to say that there isn't, but I would not pretend to know what's going on. What I would say in general terms, I don't think that the hierarchy took kindly to the suggestion from the manager that he perhaps was not being given maximum assistance. I know that some of the players might have taken umbrage at the manager suggesting that a team who had won 6 trophies in the bounce were a weakened squad, but Celtic have a huge squad. I may have my reservations about the strength and depth. They're big in numbers. I'm not sure about the strength in depth, but they ought to be good enough.
They're big in numbers, and obviously there's players like Rangers were last season on huge wages, so it's hard to either offload or you need to actually
subsidise it.
Pay these contracts off, Alec.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how the boy Scott Allen's not even getting featured. It's obviously at that time he was supposed to be part of the deal with John McGinn, which I'm led to believe even then the John McGinn deal was blocked as well by the hierarchy at Parkhead. But I just feel, guys, we all know, sure, can you actually tell me then, you know better than me, in the full tenure for the last 18 years, when did Celtic actually ever strengthen from a position of strength and kick on?
Yeah, it's a feeling.
I think we stand still.
Yeah, it's an historical feeling on Celtic's part. But, you know, what's happened in the past is not relevant to what's happening now on the 24th of September. And what Celtic have to reflect on now is that, and let me say, I would contradict you in one sense, I do not believe that anyone at Celtic Park prevented the manager from getting John McGinn. I think Celtic went about their business in the wrong fashion with regard to John McGinn, and they should have had him there at the club. However, they are where they are right now, and the squad at the moment, I am mystified. I repeat, the team who played so well against Rangers has played so badly since then, and on Wednesday night they have to try and recapture that kind of form, and they have to show a unity, and they have to find battlers here, because they are in a battle. They are most certainly in a battle now, because they're 6 points adrift of Hearts. Rangers are there now in this race. Neil Lennon will be at Celtic Park shortly with Hibs, and as usual, there'll be no quarter given or asked in that particular match. Aberdeen are there on Saturday. Celtic are in a battle, and the battlers in the team had better come to the fore, or this will get worse.
Thanks, Peter. On tonight's teaser, the question is, can you name 9 players since 2006 who got their first Scotland cap whilst at Hibs? Now, so far, you've got John McGinn and Lewis Stevenson.
Stephen Fletcher.
Yes.
Good shout, Hugh.
Derek Ryan.
Yes. He's on fire. It's that new haircut.
Gary O'Connor.
Yep.
Paul Hanlon.
No, he made the squad but didn't get capped. Hopefully we'll get the answers to the teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard into the final part, and they're having a go at Jerry's teaser. I think Jerry might have actually got his years mixed up a little bit. I don't think it changes things too much. I'm just looking at some of the names. Let's forget the 2006 part. I think that's wrong, I'm going to be honest. 9 players though who got their first Scotland cap whilst a Hibs player this century. Let's just pluck that off the top of my head, because they're all from there. So you've got Stephen Fletcher, John McGinn, Lewis Stevenson, Gary O'Connor and Derek Riordan. So the 9 players who got their first Scotland cap whilst a Hibs player.
Is it Stephen Whittaker?
No, his caps were all at Rangers. He did make a squad recently at Hibs, but he didn't get capped. And remember, it was his...
Kevin Thompson?
Nope. 3 caps.
Dylan
McGeoch? Yes.
Oh, hey.
The Griff?
No, actually, he was on loan, so we're going permanent. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I'm not changing it,
no.
Okay,
he's not on the
fair
list.
Enough, fair enough. How many are we looking for?
He was on loan from Wolves. 3. You've got 3 to get.
Wow. I'm under caution now. I've... Gary O'Connor said that, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Mm. 3 to get. Right, okay. You've missed an obvious one. Or what I would consider an obvious one.
Is he a goalie?
No. This is obvious. Of players who sort of started at Hibs and went on to have lengthy
John
Scotland
Collins.
Careers. Who was the Scotland captain up until fairly recently? Anyone? It wasn't Darren Fletcher, it was the other guy. You're kidding me on.
I'm just trying to think.
Who was the Scotland captain before Andy Robertson? He also happens to captain one of the big teams in this part of the world. Wow.
Brown.
Oh, Scott Brown.
Do Just as well we got that.
That was a struggle. That was a struggle. Right, okay, you've got two to get. Let's hear a bit from Stephen Robinson, shall we? A 1-0 defeat for Motherwell at Pittodrie.
There's nothing in the game. You know, I thought we started the game poorly. I thought Aberdeen started brightly, but you know, we get punished. The ball goes under Elliot's foot, they end up crossing it. We don't mark on the way out, we don't follow our runners, and they go 1-0 up. So we're chasing the game, a really hard place to come to. You know, another top six side that we've played in the opening lot of games. So it's a tough one to take because I didn't think there was a whole lot in the game. You know, we had chances, half chances. I thought we defended okay and our midfield were okay. I thought up front we lacked the creativity again, although we did create some half chances. I just thought we lacked a little bit of belief in the final third again.
I think you should have been a penalty.
I don't know, there's no point me even talking about it. It's not going to get turned around. You know, what I can concentrate on is we didn't stay with runners for the goal. You know, and our creativity in that final third is something I can worry about and I can control and try and affect that. In terms of referees' decisions, I haven't seen it back yet anyway, so I don't know. Somebody said to me there was a handball at the end when Tom Aldridge heading into the goal. I don't know who it was, I think it was McKenna. Somebody said it was McKenna, but look, what's the point? We've lost 1-0, a very close game. And it's up to us. I only worry about the things I can control.
When did you know that Curtis Main wasn't going to be available?
No, Curtis' wife's had a baby yesterday. He was touch and go anyway, so he was in hospital. So, you know, we made the decision that he would have to stay with his family. So that was a late one for us. Andy Rose was a late one for us as well. So, yeah, you can see that. I think we missed Curtis up front today for that impact and physicality.
Stephen Robinson not really wanting to get drawn on the refereeing decisions. It was quite a quiet weekend for the referees.
I thought they were due a penalty at the weekend there, and then you know, he didn't even bring it up.
Well, he was asked about it, but he just said, you know, he'd rather talk about things he can control. This is the one where Andy Considine slides on Elliot Freer.
I thought it
looked like a penalty to me as well. Yeah,
but something that he was definitely right on, Alex, if you're looking at it from a footballing perspective, because he talks about things he can control.
Yeah.
And Motherwell didn't defend that goal particularly well at all.
No, not at all. I thought the defensive shape was really poor, Gordon. They had a really good back line initially, and I think it was the boy Hartley just come charging out and leaving the space, and then obviously the boy went in and scored the winner. The boy
Wilson.
Yeah, his first goal of the season. And I have to say, you know, Aberdeen continue to just grind out the results. Gordon, they needed that one as well, because they were kind of down towards the bottom part of the table, which is not that often you see Aberdeen down there. So that's got them back up the way. So it was an important win for Derek McInnes.
Yeah, Hugh, Aberdeen needed that result, didn't they? Because they've not been,
flying.
They've not been flying yet. So
As I say, there's going to be one big match at Celtic Park on Saturday. Celtic have to get through St Johnstone in the Betfred Cup, and that's in psychological terms, that's very important for Celtic midweek. But when Aberdeen come calling, and remember, Aberdeen's last visit to Celtic Park, they won 1-0, and Celtic were a far more assured side then than they are now. So it's a big week for Celtic, and Derek McInnes, I'm sure, will be involved in a big week as well. He's got Hibs tomorrow night, the Betfred Cup, and then on to Celtic Park. These are the start to the season, Alec, in general terms. It's been terrific.
Yeah, I have to say I've really enjoyed it. I think it's ebbing and flowing very well. There's not a great deal between the teams. You know, it's all very much compact. And it's like what you said, Hugh, it's back to normal business. Yeah. You have to win your game the day before or the morning of your opponents. And it just puts the pressure on, and you have to capitalise on that.
We've had great football, and Mary's the top caller so far.
I think he's got a soft spot.
Honestly,
for Mary.
Hugh and Mary, I'm telling you, right. Jim's in Shawlands, maybe one of Mary's neighbours. Hi, Jim.
Hello there, hi.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing? How you doing, lads?
Good, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Okay. Hugh.
Oh.
Hi. There's something you said a while back, what comes around goes around. I actually think that this Celtic team, I'm a Rangers fan of many years, same years as you, Hugh. I believe this Celtic team has peaked. You could only go so far. Yeah, I think you've said it yourself. You know, they start to lose, players lose momentum and things like that. And I believe that's what's happening here. And Rangers are a young team, and I believe they'll get stronger. But if the Celtic board don't give Brendan Rodgers money in January, I don't see Celtic winning many trophies.
Well, they're in a position, Jim, whereby if For example, they play Rangers at Ibrox on the 29th of December. If Rangers are still above Celtic in the league table by then, as they are now, then Celtic are in a position where they have to say to themselves, yes, there's a huge squad here, mm-hmm. but 10 in a row cannot be won unless you win 8 in a row. So if 8 in a row is in jeopardy, then Celtic have to consider whether they increase the squad still further, increase the wage bill still further, and go for it again in the second half of the season. It will all depend on what happens between now and the 29th of December. We'll then go into the winter recess, and Celtic will then have to decide whether they're going to spend yet more money.
Rangers did very well yesterday. Celtic did not well at all yesterday. But given that there's only 1 point in it at the moment, I wonder, is there a case to say that, that sort of ruling out Celtic, you know, it's far too early for that sort of thing?
Gordon, it would be naive to actually rule Celtic out as it stands at the moment. Celtic are actually
only 1 point in it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're on a difficult moment, a difficult period in the season. They have so much quality and strength and depth that you would imagine that they would come at some point. However, the longer this goes on, the longer it'll be difficult to come out of. More pressure becomes on the manager. And I think part of all of this as well is that Rangers are actually starting to get a wee bit of momentum.
Sure.
And that results, you look at some of the results when Celtic were losing points, four draws at the second part of the season at Parkhead, Hugh.
Yeah.
And they're not even getting tested. There's no drama. There's nobody on gun as if it's going to be a big issue.
Okay, I think it's about time we rounded off the teaser. Jerry's in a wee bit of bother just because I think he got the year wrong, and it sort of, it didn't really confuse it too much because a lot of the players are still the same. So we're looking for the nine players who got their first Scotland cap whilst a Hibs player. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think he meant to type since 2000 and wrote since 2006 for some reason. But anyway, the nine players who got their first Scotland cap whilst at Hibs. You've only got two to get. You've got Brown, Fletcher, McGinn, Stevenson, McGeoch, O'Connor, Riordan. Two to get.
Gary Caldwell.
Wow, well done.
Got one to go, Hugh. Come on.
I have never, I don't think, seen Hugh Keevans get them all without clues. you and Derek have been close on a couple of occasions. This is, yeah, I'd say this is the hardest one.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. What it has to be.
One cap wonder?
No, he's got six, I think.
Well, that makes it easier.
He's played for Hibs, played for Rangers. He was manager of one of the Renfrewshire sides. I believe he's now
Ian Murray.
Yes. Well done, Ian Murray. Thank you, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans, for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The biggest thanks, as always, goes to you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling and tweeting. And we'll do it again tomorrow from 6 o'clock in the company of Gordon DL and Roger Hanna. In the meantime, stay where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.